Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the show. Make yourself comfortable. You can hang your coat up over there or just leave it on the bed. It's your dime. Thank you for spending the time with me today. Happy Thursday. Happy hump day plus one. Happy 2 days until the weekend times seven. It's just another night. It's, 8, 9 months until Christmas, something like that. I don't even know. You know, thank God for our education public school system. Not because it educates the kids, but it keeps little bastards off the street for most of the day. It serves a purpose. Number one purpose, keep the little bastards off the street, give them something to do. Number two, if they can learn something in the meantime, that's better. All the better. One of the most important jobs in this country is a teacher, and one of the most underpaid is the teacher. Oddly enough, that makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah, teachers should be paid more. When you think of your childhood, you don't think of anything other than school. And when you think of school, you think of a teacher that influenced your life or said something at some point which made so much freaking sense. Maybe not at the time, but as you look back on it, that teacher said something that was like so profound you can't believe it. That's what teachers do. They influence your entire life. They're amazing people. And so are talk show hosts. They don't get paid enough, and they are amazing. So happy Thursday to you, wherever your mindset may be. Enjoy the day. Make it the best day you can possibly make it. And with that, I'll leave you now. Have a wonderful weekend. No, I'm only kidding. I haven't done the show yet. The music in the background composed and released to our show by Jason Shaw, who does a lot of the background music for this program. Also involved in the show, with his hands cuffed, is John Shanahan. A comedy writer extraordinaire, does many of the, all of the comedy commercials, the station identifications, the opening to the show, all that cool stuff. He's fantastic. And Nicole Reed books many of the national interviews that we do on the program. She's also the British girl that you hear at the beginning of the program. Thank you so much for your indulgence. And now I ask for your campaign contribution. You know, how did they get away with that? You run for office and all of a sudden you can just ask for contributions. That's so nice. That's what they do. When I'm driving to the mall, there's a little grass strip there before you turn into the mall, and there's usually somebody there collecting money. I live in the Boston area, and when I drive into Boston out of Boston, there's a whole gang of people collecting money, many of them homeless, most likely, they're picking up campaign contributions. And I'm telling you, man, that's what we do. We need money. We need money. Money makes the world go round. Without it, we can't buy food. We can't have shelter. We can't buy strange little sex toys. We can't do much without money. Health insurance, medicine, shoes. We need clothing. So many people look like they can't afford clothing because they dress so horribly. Do you remember there was a Democratic candidate? Oh boy, am I skipping subjects or what? Oh my God, this must be some kind of a mental situation. There was a Democratic candidate, Andrew Yang, obviously by last name, of the Far East persuasion. I don't know how else to put this politically correct. Andrew Yang was running for president. He claimed he was going to give everybody $1,000. I mean, I don't know if that's legal, but or where we get the money from. But that's what he claimed. Didn't work too much. Andrew Yang, and when he was campaigning or doing the formal Democratic debates, Andrew Yang never wore a tie, and I kept yelling at the television screen, "Put a tie on you! What are you doing? Put a damn tie on! Everybody else has a tie on, even the women. I mean, put a damn tie on. Dress like you care." I've done so many shows about Casual Friday. We don't even call it Casual Friday anymore. That's the day when businesses, the employees don't dress up at all. It kind of started in banks. I don't know why. If you're going to house my money, put a tie on. Dress up a little bit. That's my money you got there. Let's be serious about it. Let's not play games. Let's not dress like we're about to play basketball. You're a bank. Make it look like it. I want my money to be in a place where people dress up really nice. Sorry, that's just what I want. It's not a lot to ask. That's all I want. But for some reason, banks decide on Fridays, we're going to do Casual Friday. We're going to tell our employees to dress in little T-shirts and jeans. No, thank you. That's where my money is. You don't dress like that. It's the least you can do. Wash your hands, comb your hair, and put on some nice clothes. My money's involved here. So then the Casual Friday just like grew. Like, okay, they're not dressing up, so we won't dress up. And then all of a sudden, no one's dressing up at all anymore. Nobody is at all. Now it's casual every day. We're a bunch of weird people. Because when you don't dress up, you perform differently. You're lazy. You don't go to work like you would to watch TV with your hands in your pants at 8 o'clock at night. You don't dress like that. You just don't. You don't. Other culprit? Walmart. Walmart actually has a sign out front of all of its stores, and it says, "Don't dress up here. You're going to look stupid." I don't know. I've talked about this so many, many times. It's in a segment called "What Are You Wearing?"
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Absolutely nothing. You know, even in a nudist colony, they dress better. Americans have just gone downhill in every sense of the word. Everything's lazy. We dress lazy. We eat lazy. Oh my God, we eat lazy. People used to dress up to go out. They used to dress up to go to a fancy restaurant. You couldn't get into most restaurants without a jacket and a tie for guys and a skirt or a dress for a woman. Used to be fun to dress up. You would look forward to events or going out to dinner where you could actually dress up, you know? But now we don't. Do you know that I haven't done a survey on this, but I believe that half of the American men in this country don't know how to tie a tie, a necktie. They don't know how. They just don't know how. So they go screaming for their significant other females to put their tie on for them. Oh my God, can I change your diaper, please? Seriously? Learn how to do that. And people who go to funerals and don't dress up, seriously? People who go to weddings and don't dress up, seriously? Are you proving a point, or you simply don't have the clothes? I think you simply don't have the clothes. You're an American person. Dress like it. I'm not saying people should dress up all the time like they did in the 50s. I used to watch a television show. It's in reruns now called Leave It to Beaver. Have you watched that? Raise your hand if you have. Okay. Look, millennials don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. Leave It to Beaver? That's a show? What was that like? The groundhog thing? What if they had extra food at the dinner table? They had a little pet beaver? And no, Beaver was a nickname of a kid in a show from like the late 50s, early 60s. I'm sorry, 1960s. And I remember in the episodes, the husband, Ward, the father, that was his first name, Ward, I know, short for warden, I guess. I have no idea. I've never met a ward in my life except for on that show. They had a ward. That was his name. He said, guys, we're going to go to the baseball game. Got tickets to the baseball game. Go upstairs and put your suit on. A suit to go to the baseball game? Yeah, that's what they did. That was extreme and extremely stupid. But, it was respectable. You see, when you don't dress with respect, then all the respect goes out the window. And that's what's happened. All the respect has gone out the window. We dress down for everything. Do you want to look good or do you want to be comfortable? I don't want to look good. I just want to be comfortable. Can I look good by being comfortable? Sometimes, but usually not. Put some clothes on. Put some pants on, by the way. Sweatpants, man. Sweatpants, seriously? You call those things pants? Yeah, they cover your legs and your crotch, but other than that, those aren't pants. Those are pajama bottoms. That's what you wear when you go to the gym. They're sweat pants. Or when you're jogging, you wear those. When you're working out, you wear them. You don't wear them out in public. Who allowed this? Who made sweatpants a national garment?
Well, it says the name of the company down the pant leg. It says Adidas.
Oh, that's the formal sweatpants. We've turned comfortable clothes into our national wardrobe, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Have some respect. We have no respect for each other anymore. And it's because of the way we dress. When I go to New York City, I do that every once in a while for various reasons. People there, they know how to dress. They don't walk around in sweatpants. Oh, you don't see that at all. They're wearing real pants. Made with material. They're wearing little sports coats, and the women are dressed rather well all the time. And you feel like people look important and feel important and have a purpose and they care about how they look because it makes them feel better about themselves. Then I get into suburbia and, oh my God, everybody's dressing like they just put the trash out for the garbage people. I'm sorry, sanitation workers, I apologize. Yeah, that's what you wear when you bring your garbage to the curb so it can be picked up on your trash day. Sweatpants and a robe. And you also wear that to go out? Seriously? All the respect has gone out the window. There's no happy medium. It's one extreme or the other. It is. Nobody meets anybody in the middle anymore. Nobody compromises to the middle. Even our political parties, our political frame of mind. Moderates, not a lot of them anymore. Middle of the road, not a lot of them. The two extremes, pretty much that's where we all went. That's where we all went, to the two extremes. I don't want to meet you in the middle. Why? That's what we used to do. We used to meet people in the middle. I'll meet you at 12. Where do you want to meet? In the middle. So what are you wearing today? Sweatpants?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Absolutely disgusting.
disgusting. Anyway, thank God my audience dresses up all the time. Yeah, I wear a three-piece suit in the shower. Not only do I get to shower and wash my hair, but I don't. My suit gets clean. Yeah, it's really it's economical. It's I'm always thinking. All right, I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. I think you're going to enjoy it. But in the meantime, let's talk about something else for just a second. It's something that I don't like to talk about. It involves fear of a point. Yep. The coronavirus, which again has nothing to do with the beer, with the lime in the neck of the bottle. This is a little more serious. It's spreading throughout the world. Some people are getting really nervous about it. Other people are saying it's nothing more than a common cold or a flu. You can die from it. You can die from the flu too, by the way. The number of deaths from the flu every year are really not talked about, but they're pretty damn high. And we don't go crazy about the flu. But this coronavirus is a little bit different, apparently. President Trump, I can't say those two words together. Trump, he actually addressed the nation yesterday, fleetingly, and said, this coronavirus, don't worry about it here, ain't going to happen, not a big deal. In the meantime, it's spreading throughout the world, more cases are showing up here. Anytime Trump says something, I always think he's lying to me. Whose fault is that? I will never leave. You want me to stay. Do you remember the boy that cried wolf? Lied so many times that when the wolf actually appeared, no one believed him. That was Trump. I don't believe a word this guy says. And yet somehow he's in the White House. So when Trump says, don't worry about it, there's nothing to worry about, my reaction is, there's something to worry about. Okay, my guest is just around the corner. You can see my guest if you look over there. My guest is just around the corner. You see that head popping out from the corner? That's my guest's head. Yeah, my guest is just around the corner. I treat my guests really, really well on this show because it's important to make your guests comfortable because you can get more out of them. Like cash. And promises that would make to you that they would never make otherwise. So I make a personal connection with my guests. Before I interview them, I take them out to dinner and get them drunk. It's amazing the interview you can get when you get them drunk. It's called the Cosby method of interviewing. I take advantage of them verbally to milk them of information, and I find out things about them that they never knew. Now, I don't drink as much, so they don't get anything out of me, but I find out their intimate details about their sexual habits, how they dress when they go out to dinner. I find out things. I actually go through their phones when they're in the bathroom. I have staff members that very quickly know how to go through somebody's phones and somebody's text messages and go through their gallery on their cell phones. And I find pictures of them in very, very interesting situations. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see a lot of pictures of Mr. Willie surrounded by two baseballs, and I see a lot of pictures of women who are, may I say, and then I have them over a barrel. When I ask them questions, if they don't want to answer, I actually have copies of those incriminating pictures, and boy, do they answer then. They admit to things that they never thought they would admit to. I say, how did you know that? Remember when I took you out to dinner before the interview? I got you drunk, and you said things that you won't even believe you said. And then the interview gets very, very interesting. So, don't tell me how to interview, young man, young woman. Yeah, I know how. My interview is just around the corner. Yeah.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Good morning, Ron. Hi, Emmy. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You sound like you're doing great there. Emmy Sims joins us now. A little bit of pleasure. I could use that, certainly. It's a great book.
Everybody can.
And of course they can. It's just what the doctor ordered, as you say. We're talking about romance and relationships, and you're an expert in this field, I understand.
Kind of. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing it for over 40 years.
Oh, well, that's an expert to me. Doing anything more than 10 minutes is an expert to me. So that's pretty good. This is under the category of intimacy mentoring. What exactly is that?
Well, I mentor based on my experience, my strength, and, mm-hmm. and how I have come out of several bad marriages, mm-hmm. how the tools that I used, I give them the tools to help them.
Okay.
The difference between a therapist versus a mentor, a therapist spends a lot of money on education and a lot of books, mm-hmm. but they don't share their experience.
I see.
And that's the difference for me.
So it's information by example.
Exactly.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, you know, that's more effective because when someone tells you their experiences, then you know that it worked or it didn't work or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like sharing a recipe.
Yeah. You know, it is like sharing a recipe. See, you're talking about something that people do not talk about. And that's always an interesting thing because intimacy and romance should be in relationships, but yet we don't discuss this with our friends. We don't discuss it, certainly not with our parents. Oh my God. And not even with your partner most of the time. So it's a very interesting phenomenon.
It is so filled with shame and guilt and dread and hell. it stymies, especially women, much more so than men.
Really? Okay.
Yes, much so more. You know, men can scratch themselves at any time
True.
During the day. It doesn't matter where or who. Okay. If a woman did that, the heavens would part.
That's a different thing. Yeah, but not
it's
to say that
not acceptable.
But not to say that men scratching themselves is acceptable either, as far as I'm concerned. It's just something that they get away with.
They do. And I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying that even though the rules are all the same, they're interpreted differently for different people. And I'm not saying the rules are bad.
Yeah.
But the way we internalize things and the way our mothers, primarily our mothers.
Yes.
I wasn't allowed to wear anything but cotton penny underwear because I would be a bad person. I wasn't allowed to wear hoop earrings because that made you a whore.
Yeah.
I mean...
well, times have definitely changed.
My mother
changed.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think we're far from it.
No. Let me ask you two questions, Emmy. First of all, when we go to the movies, in every single movie, whether it's a comedy, espionage, drama, no matter what, somebody goes to bed with somebody, and there is a romantic sexual scene. And I think for many of us, we expect that in life, that happens all the time when you meet somebody or something clicks. And if that doesn't happen to you in your life, these romantic scenes that come out of nowhere, then there's something wrong with you. Do you find that to be the case?
That is absolutely the case. There was a show on TV, a doctor show, and of course they've been Googling it over the surgical table, and then they got into the locker room, and he threw her up against the locker, thought, well, she'll never walk again, because he just put that thing in the middle of her back, and we do. It's no different than Father Knows Best. We try to, that's how family should be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we do that, and it's not real.
Good.
But the thing that I would like to impart with you is that adult films, toys, negligees, lubes, all of those things, it's a $15 billion industry a year in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Somebody's buying it. Somebody's buying watching it. But we can't talk about it.
Yeah. And how do you, and then there was the movie 50 Shades of Grey and the sequels that made it not necessarily acceptable, but to point it out that you can have some wild experiences and fantasies and have fun with it. How do you know if somebody else, how do you know if somebody else is into it until you embarrass yourself by asking them?
Conversation. Communication. Even with your longtime husband or wife, I find that most men want to please their women.
Sure.
But women are too embarrassed or they're scared.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid they'll get mad.
Yes.
They're afraid they'll hurt his feelings.
Yes.
But you can have some of that kind of sex if you're adventurous.
Mm.
The books were much better than the movies, though, to tell you the truth.
Okay. It's good to know.
And the books... The books, Ron, changed women's lives because it excited their mind, which is their biggest sex organ.
Yeah.
And gave them permission to try something different.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a whole nother life if you engage in that. And there are other marriages and relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, where all the excitement seems to go away after a fashion because of the longevity of the relationship. And I guess that's something that you hear about a lot, is that the magic is
a lot.
Starting to decrease. How do I get the magic back if it's not there?
I think a couple have to make a decision that our relationship is more important than school, soccer, children, parents. Mm. And they have to do a little work. Any relationship, whether it be friendship or any relationship.
Yeah.
It takes effort and time and education. You don't learn something new without doing a little study, a little research. And it doesn't take a lot to get those juices flowing again. This takes a little bit of time. I always recommend date night and make it. And you can't talk about kids at work.
Yeah.
We have to cultivate a different conversation with the person that we spend our nights and days with.
You're absolutely right. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to by law, so I can't do that. But there is a book.
Wow.
It's a little bit of pleasure.
Oh, yes, thank you.
And it's available everywhere.
And your audience,
on
Amazon primarily, and they can reach me on alittlebitofpleasure.com. They can send me an email at emmy@alittlebitofpleasure. If they want to talk to me or want some mentoring, we can exchange through emails a telephone number so they can reach and talk to me. I am available. I am reachable. And it'd be my pleasure.
That sounds great.
To help anyone have a better sex life.
You know what your book also does, which I may recommend, is that if one buys the book and just leaves it on a table somewhere in their house or their apartment, your partner might just say, oh, what are they doing with this book? Or they may open it up and start looking at it, and that may actually break the ice for more of an interesting, intriguing relationship simply by having the book in the room. I think it's a great icebreaker.
You're right. And I did a brochure last year, sent it to a therapist and psychiatrist, suggesting that they recommend my book so their clients could talk to them.
That's right.
I've had seven therapists tell me that it did help.
Yeah.
It does help.
It does. And the title kind of brings you right to where you're supposed to go. A little bit of pleasure, we could all use
bit.
It. A little bit. No, it's not overboard, but a little bit. It opens the door for more pleasure.
Then you get a little more.
That's right. It's a door opening is what we're talking about. Emmy Sims, alittlebitofpleasure.com, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Pleasure.
And my name is spelt with two capital letters, not
yes.
E-M-M-Y.
Right. Yeah, capital M, capital E. Sims, a little bit of pleasure is what you're looking for, though, literally. Thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. This has been quite an experience for you. For me, not really. Part of my job here is to entertain you like some type of pathetic circus clown. I think I've achieved that part of it. And the other part is to inform you of social events and things that are going on in the world. I have not accomplished that today. I rarely do, but at least I'm honest about it. All right, that's enough. Oh, seriously, isn't that enough? Isn't there a point where that's quite enough? All right, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.